Blog Talk Radio.
Africa, emotle. Africa, sir. The beautiful African. Good day, good evening. Bimela, Tobela, Malweni, Ashe, Hotep, Sava, Aslam Alaikum. Africa, Dr. Nana Sashibe, a long-time member and warrior of the Pan-Africanist Congress of Azania, has passed on, Africa. We received the news on Saturday the 20th that he has passed on Friday the 19th, June. In Africa, a very significant reminder that in Africa, Dr. Nana Sashibe attended the 21st March Sharpeville Massacre commemoration, a commemoration we held at Clark House. In fact, we had arranged to have a PAC branch meeting that day that was held in the morning until 2 o'clock. And the commemoration started at 3 p.m. to 6. So, my Africa, you never know if sitting next to another Mo Africa, that may be the last meeting. It may be a farewell meal or farewell meeting. In Africa, one feels honored that at least we were blessed by her presence, Mo Africa, and dedicated support. And in fact, we are pushing hard to try and, you know, strengthen the PAC of Pan-Africanism message here across North America. And my Africa, Dr. Nana Sashibe's passing reminds us that my Africa, we are mortal. And we should thank every minute above ground, because that's a gift. It's a borrowed time, Africa. And the message, the deep message here is that my Africa should get their act together, especially those long-serving Africanists, that let's cherish every minute, every moment, but also let's lay the seed for our children, my Africa, and strengthen the Pan-Africanist Congress and Pan-Africanism that the martyrs like Dr. Nana Sashibe has sowed the seed, my Africa. Let's grow the seed. My Africa, June 19th, the massacre of 9 members of the Emmanuel Africanist Methodist Episcopal Church in South Carolina. The deranged young man, 21-year-old Dylan Storm Roof, young supremacist, my Africa, sat for 1 hour or more in the Bible study with the members. And of course, he sought to terminate, he did terminate all their living bodies and flesh, all shot, and perished their physical earth presence, that is, physical presence on earth. Lord and behold, my Africa, there's a slaughter has lit and rose up a universal spirit and forward marching of the flood of humanity, especially the African humanity, my Africa, never to give up our insurrection, to claim our rightful and our right to physical life and freedom from chains and bondage of supremacy, slavery, colonialism, and apartheid. We did it, my Africa. And the young man, he had a website, he called himself the Last Rhodesian. Of course, my Africa, Last Rhodesian, he wore a jacket showing the flag of the white Rhodesia and the Ironsmith white Rhodesia, and the flag of the apartheid South Africa. Africa, Rhodesia is dead and extinct. Finished. Never coming back. And what we have today, we have Zimbabwe. For Zimbabwe and nobody else. Zimbabwe for Zimbabwe and the Africans at home and in diaspora and abroad and for nobody else. Rhodesia is dead, Africa. As we say, it is extinct, it's never coming back. South Africa, of course, continues the name that was founded by the British in the British Parliament in 1909. And of course, the Parliament of South Africa enacted the name Union of South Africa in 1910. And of course, Ma Africa, there was opposition to that because even Ma Africa called and howled that they stand for complete overthrow, meaning that the Act of 1909 that named the name South Africa, they called it that fossilized relic of white men's exclusive privileges and prejudices, must be scrapped. Now, you cannot know that. That's why we've got to hammer on these historic recordings, the history of Africa, because there are those who want to sweep this under the carpet. Now, today, in Africa, we have the name South Africa. And as you know, in Africa, we even share the black and the white anthem. We have the Stamford Said Africa, and we have the Nkosi Sikelale Africa. So, Africa, having these deranged people around, people are deranged, and you still want to share something, keep it going. And the worst part of it is that those amongst our African brethren do not even think or conceive or want to even mention the African name for that country. That's the extent of how lost we are. And Africa, the call that South Africa belongs to all those, all who live in it, black and white, and that no government can justly, of course, say that authority unless it is based on the will of the people. Yes, the will of the people, that is true. But Africa, the African insists that that country is the country of the African majority. It cannot belong to everybody or anyone who lives in it. Like we are saying that, Africa, you've had our problem started with the Portuguese invasion of March 1, 1510, and the arrival of Jan van Riebeck from Holland in 6 April 1652. Now, how do you say that the country belongs to all those who live in it, black and white? When there were war of resistance against the arrival of the settlers. In fact, we fought hard to remove and cut off or uproot the settler apartheid regime. And seemingly, you brought it back. You brought it back, Masita. You brought it back. And you say that the country belongs to all those who live in it. You have people with multiple passports, others with 4, 6 passports, 6 countries, because they came in and given automatic citizenship. And they did not have allegiance to the country itself. And they would claim allegiance. That's why you have split identities. And as we have pointed out, that the minority group is about to take over now, politically, electoral. It's about the minority in terms of numbers are about to become the electoral majority because why? They've come into the black community and just take over some of our folks because of your confusion. Say that the land shall be shared among those who work it. The land belongs to the Africans, majority. And under the international law, we have the right to nationalize the land, because as you know that in 1913, the Land Act, up to 90%, 97% of the land was taken from the Africans. How do you justify saying that the land belongs to all those who work on it? Even those who stole it, it belongs to them. In Africa, we have to make the dichotomy clear. All right. There is nothing in the, in this charter about the takeover, expropriation of land without compensation. There is nothing about that. And those amongst us who want to conflate the two, you cannot conflate the two, because as you're saying that Africanists were basically against the charter itself, especially on the clause where the country belongs to all those who live in it, black and white. And the land shall be shared among those who work it. So you cannot conflate the issue of the land expropriation with the land shall, saying that there is no radical charter here in terms of land. There is no radical clause in terms of land. This is it here. This is it. In Africa, the question is, those amongst the kings who resisted colonial and apartheid occupation, resisted the Portuguese, resisted Jan van Riebeck, and resisted the British occupation, did they resist to share the land with the invaders, the settlers? No, they did not do that. They did not do that. We've had the 1811 King Sambe attacked by settlers from Africa, forced to cross Fish River. Today's Grahamstown. Now, our brethren don't even see the need to change some of these names like Grahamstown. No, they don't. We have statues of apartheid that still hang around throughout the country. They've seen nothing wrong, because they have entered. I would say that these are portfolio people. They were just happy to move in and take their portfolios without fundamentally changing everything. And they were told, you remember that, we were told that there will never be a constitutional vacuum, that whatever changes have to be brought will have to be structured or made on the existing constitution. So that's what happened. Happily, we got the black vote, we got the black president, we got the black parliament, and removed the obnoxious laws, apartheid laws. That was it. That was it. People just moved in and took up their portfolio. That's why we call it the portfolio regime. And it's the same Africa. Did the kings and the chiefs who resisted colonial occupation perish to have a South Africa that belongs to everybody, including the settlers? And our position is that Africa, yes, if you're an individual, you look at you as individual Africa, as a group, and that your allegiance to the country, especially those who were born in the country already, your allegiance is key, and you see as an individual, not as part of a grouping. And that's exactly what we have and what we have to remove in terms of having segments and groupings in the country that see themselves holding a certain identity, a claim to the country. And as we continue, Africa, with regard to the chief, the kings and the chiefs who resisted colonialism, occupation, we've had King Hinta, Africa, whose land was seized from Africa, called Queen Adelaide Territory, 1834. And then we've had the 1846 War of the Axe, waged by Sandile Matoma and Palo. And the land between Keskama and Kei was seized, occupied, which was built to be called the province of Kaffraria, King Williamstown and East London. You still have these places. Then 1838, 16 December, the Battle of Blood River, when the attempt was to overthrow, the settlers attempted to overthrow the African kingdom under King Dingane. And then you had Mzilikazi, 837, the War of Vegkop and War of Masega. Did all these people fight to have the land shared by the settlers? No. South Africa, we are saying that, I mean, the position is that the country belongs to the African majority. And our position is that we don't distinguish. We secure, we look after the security and the rights of the individual. And we treat you as an individual, enhance you and secure you as an individual, not as a group. And that those who declare allegiance to the country, not have allegiances to several countries and still claim to hold allegiance to the country itself. And that also that it's high time that those of our brethren have to name or promulgate the African name of that country. We cannot go about calling ourselves South Africa. We can't do that. That is the thing of the British. In Africa, talk about the portfolio government. We've had the report of the Marikana massacre of 34 miners that were killed demanding better wage. In Africa, we are calling upon this our government to make good of the families of the victims. Yes, life is worth more than money, but the government must compensate those families and dependents in Africa. And as we are saying that a case like that must never recur. It must never happen again. And that's why we are saying, Africa, we've got our people must elect representative to parliament so that if you have a crisis, you can go to your community representative and ask him to talk to parliament. Now, we have a situation where there is no responsibility to in terms of, yes, police commissioner is being held responsible. The district commissioner, police commissioner is being held responsible. But what about the presidency? What about the minister of police? And it appears, Mafrika, that when the dispute was escalated, you had portfolio people who were in the struggle, but now holding directorships in the mining company, speaking on behalf of the mining company, having direct access to police, to government, to parliament, to presidency, and calling for concomitant action. And the minister of the minister herself was with supporting union, National Union of Mine Workers, against AMCU. And they were calling AMCU as a renegade union. And the miners themselves did not have anybody responsible that could talk directly to government, talk to the police, intercede on their behalf. Yes, you had ministers and religious people, but they did not have authority. So that's why we are saying that to avoid such mistakes, to have the people in communities represented directly so that they should not be frustrated to a point where they take up violence. Public violence, they destroy schools, they destroy hospitals, they destroy houses. Let them have community representatives. If it comes to a push, let them have the right to litigate, go to court, like everybody else is doing. So in Africa, this portfolio, we call it the move-in syndrome. Every time our brethren have always moved and migrated, they moved to the townships, to the white neighborhoods, what you may call proper neighborhoods. And now everybody is moving out. And we've had a situation where the apartheid monopolies do what they do best. They've also co-opted. They've picked and choose whoever amongst the governing party. And we've had a situation where they've manufactured a few billionaires and the rest of the people are going hungry. And we've called for redistribution of the wealth and nationalization of the key mineral resources and key industries, and that this money must be redistributed. The people have a right to access to money because we are all equal. Africa, what a few individuals and the amongst the elite, the ruling elite, political elite, what they have given themselves, what have they gained themselves, make worse compared to their failure to deliver to the people. I mean, yes, you can say that, I've heard someone say that the government is doing well, they built low-cost housing, 3 million low-cost housing. That is true. But look at what you did. You spent 250 million to build a compound in Kandla, a compound for the president. And still the president has the use and benefit of official government residences. 250 million. That is 250 houses at 1 million each. 250 million, not 3 million. 250 million houses at 1 million each. That's what could have been done. So, in Africa, we are calling for to be treated equally. My African government, especially African countries and African government, must treat my Africa equally, that we all have the sovereign right to mineral and natural resources, because that appears to be our biggest weakness, where you find that, yes, they appear to be doing something for us. No. It's the same thing in South Africa, where the mining companies were saying that, no, bring the black government in. We'll be happy to have the black government, because what we will do is to increase the fences and dig 24 hours. And that's exactly what they've been doing. And what they did was they co-opted the minority amongst us. And that's it. And at the same time, we have a situation where, like, for example, those amongst us, those who belong to South Africa, that is black and white, are now buying residence in Europe. They moved out. They are moving out of the money that they made from the apartheid loot. In Portugal, Africa, for 1 million euro, if you buy stocks for 1 million euro, you get Portuguese citizenship. If you buy property for 500,000 euros, you get citizenship. You open up a company with 10 people, you get citizenship. So the apartheid bloody monopolies that made money out of our blood, with the excess apartheid, they are moving out. They are buying overseas residences and citizenship. Where is the allegiance that we are talking about, Mafrika? It's not there. So, Mafrika, we are saying that because we don't want the supremacists to encroach back. And the West attraction, the nuclear, the root attraction, seems to be the African resources, mineral and natural resources. And Mafrika, the other question, governments must impose the law that protects our sovereign ownership as individual to mineral and natural resources. And that, Mafrika, there has to be a limit to access to our resources, and especially amongst us. Because, you know, like we're saying that the apartheid monopolies did what they do best, by manufacturing monopolies amongst the blacks and creating a few billionaires. So those billionaires, from time to time, they come to communities and say, we are giving community the homeless 18 million. We are giving the children who are mentally challenged or physically challenged 10 million. We are giving the chiefs 30 million rents. We don't want that. That's You know, that's no different than having the mafia bosses. We didn't want that. Because the principle was we fought as equals for the liberation struggle. We sacrificed as equals for the liberation struggle. Therefore, none amongst us must be made a billionaire at the expense of the majority. So you're saying that we've got to limit access to the number of mineral and natural resources that the person can access. You have people in platinum, in coal, in vanadium, gold. I mean, just few individuals rotating, owning almost everything. And in Africa, there has to be a limit of income and wealth. You've got to impose a limit of income and wealth derived or taken from gain from the mineral and natural resources from amongst us, and especially these foreign companies. We have a situation, I forget we say that. The strategy of the colonialists now is to have the black face up front. And especially if you get the black face that politically connected, you are done. And in addition to limiting of income, Africa, we have to nationalize, we have to redistribute, and also there has to be a wealth tax, Africa. After a person accumulates a certain level of wealth using mineral and natural resources, any extra money has to be taxed. You got to impose an incremental tax, Africa, on incremental income. And that money must be used, Africa, establish a trust fund that will take care of the homeless, Africa. Not individuals must come and give us 18 million. No, we don't want that. Of course, for those who invent, bring in new inventions, then you cannot. They have the right to make as much money as possible. But we have a situation where people don't invent anything. They don't invent anything. They just dig up the diamonds, dig up the gold, dig up the platinum, and those who have the benefit of financing from overseas, therefore they get connected. And they are the ones that are like the vultures. They want to grab on everything else. They're in everything, in every mineral sector. And that way, in Africa, the people don't gain anything. Our sovereign rights are not protected. That's why in Africa, that's how the colonialists have come back, effectively. And in Africa, we are talking about the radical transformation of the economy. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen because what they did was they did the radical co-option and integration of a few amongst us. And they have the basis, in Africa, to say, no, we have given the blacks something. Look at your leaders. These are the ones that got it. So you can't blame us for them accumulating or monopolizing what was supposed to come to you as individuals. So, in Africa, as you say that we have the landmass, we have the political independence, we have to protect the rights of Ma-Africa, individual Ma-Africa, not groupings. The land is ours, Ma-Africa, Fasla Rona, Izoletu, Tikorahina, Shangulashu. Thank you, Ma-Africa, for the privilege of talking to you. Thanks, Ma-Africa.